Who gets the blame for recent conservative losses in Wisconsin? Some Republicans want to fire the state's GOP chair following Judge Maria Lazar's loss last week. It's Monday, April 13th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Alex Crow. Glad you're with us. Thanks for being here on this Monday. Coming up on the show today, lots of voters in Wisconsin were texted by an AI chatbot ahead of last week's election. It's just another sign of how campaigns are changing. And we'll have a conversation with a UW Eau Claire graduate who's a part of NASA's Artemis program. Really cool interview.
I really never, growing up, thought that I would be part of a lunar mission.
Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
After losing Wisconsin's Supreme Court race by historic margins, Republicans are looking for who to blame. Rich Kramer reports state GOP chair Brian Schimming is once again facing calls to resign.
Conservatives are angry about Liberal Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor defeating Conservative Appeals Court Judge Maria Lazar by the largest margin in decades. Some want to oust Republican Party of Wisconsin Chairman Brian Schimming because Democrats and Taylor heavily outspent Lazar and the GOP. Republican Bob Spindell sits on the party's executive committee, which would have to vote on firing Schimming. He said blaming Schimming for Lazar's lackluster fundraising isn't fair, and the midterms are just months away.
All right, so as the new chairman who's going to try and get adjusted, whoever that may be, is all of a sudden going to be magic and going out and raising millions and millions and millions of dollars? I don't think so.
The GOP executive committee meets this week, but Spindell said he doesn't expect a vote on Schimming's leadership. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thousands of Wisconsin voters texted with an AI chatbot before the April 7th Supreme Court election. The self-described virtual assistant relied on data from a liberal group called Defend Our Courts. It partnered with an AI messaging company called Convos to make the bot. The bot's creator told WPR he hopes to partner with similar organizations to expand to more races across the country. But Dietram Scheufele calls it a slippery slope. He's a professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison who specializes in how emerging technologies have changed communication.
In the past, of course, it was possible to spread misinformation, but it was very difficult to do this at scale and in a way that almost responds in real time to events.
The chatbot from Defend Our Courts encouraged voters to support Justice-elect Chris Taylor. A spokesperson for her campaign told WPR before the election that voters should independently examine both candidates. A new law will extend Medicaid coverage to Wisconsinites who are nearing their release from jail or prison. Sarah Lear has more on the bipartisan measure that was signed by Governor Tony Evers last week.
The new law directs Wisconsin to apply for a federal waiver by 2027. That would allow eligible Wisconsin inmates to get Medicaid coverage starting up to 90 days before they're released from jail or prison. That means the federal government would help pay for coverage of certain things, including medications for substance abuse treatment. Jerome Dillard is with Ex-Incarcerated People Organizing of Wisconsin, or EXPO. He says the law will help with continuity of care in the crucial period after someone's released from jail or prison.
It's life or death, in my opinion.
Studies show that incarcerated people have higher rates of substance abuse disorders and other serious health issues. And the risk of overdose tends to be higher just after someone's release. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A Racine County high school is taking possession of a neighbor's property through eminent domain after a lengthy legal dispute. Daniel Rydell bought 116 acres of farmland next to Union Grove High School more than 20 years ago. He wanted his sons to eventually develop the property. But a Racine County judge ruled that the school can acquire 80 acres of his land through eminent domain. The district wants to use it to build a new access road and add parking as part of a $34 million project approved by taxpayers. Tom Johnson is the district administrator. He says it's all about the safety of students.
It's going to help break up that dangerous traffic pattern, but it's also going to give us 500 additional parking spots.
The judge ruled the school can start construction after making a $2.4 million payment, but an ongoing legal case will determine the total price tag. Coming up, a really interesting interview. A NASA scientist with Wisconsin roots is working on the next lunar missions. Stay with us.
Wisconsin life is about the food.
Tacos.
Who doesn't love a taco?
Exactly.
Everybody says, oh, this tastes good. How do you season it? Oh, we can't tell you. Just eat some more.
I wish my lemonade would be so famous that I could just walk down a red carpet.
Wisconsin Life, every Wednesday and Friday on WPR News and at wisconsinlife.org.
And finally, people around Wisconsin and the world watched as NASA's Artemis II mission completed a successful lunar flyby and returned to Earth last week. It was the first manned mission since 1972. The four astronauts on the mission traveled farther from Earth than any humans ever had, and they were testing systems needed to safely land humans on the moon again. A NASA scientist with Wisconsin roots is working on the future missions that will get them there. Dr. Susan Lederer is the lead project scientist for NASA's Commercial Lunar Payload Services team. The UW-Eau Claire graduate explains how her team is learning about the lunar environment. Okay, so 15 years at NASA. How does it feel to be a part of the Artemis program?
It's really interesting because I really never growing up thought that I would be part of a lunar mission. It is so much more exciting and so much more fun than I ever would have anticipated to be part of a spacecraft mission. So it's one of those pieces that I want the kids in Wisconsin to consider thinking about for their futures as well.
This Artemis II mission, those astronauts actually traveled the furthest distance from Earth than anyone ever has before. So when that was going on, what was going through your mind?
One of the things that I found really exciting by listening to the astronauts and watching the astronauts is that they really pulled you in, felt like you could experience being in the capsule with them.
Including myself, I've been checking out those images that are being sent back from Artemis II. Really cool, detailed images of the moon and the lunar surface. What are the NASA teams, what are you guys learning from these new images?
One of the things that was incredibly interesting and just really shocking to me that I really didn't expect, and I saw the same response from the people on console, is when they started to see flashes of light as they went onto the side of the moon that was dark. So we know that there's little micrometeoroids that can impact the surface of the moon. And when that happens, it creates a flash of light. But we don't really have a sense of how often that happens. We're going to have, with CLIPS, an instrument that's going to go to the moon called the Farside Seismic Suite. And it will have seismometers on there. So it will be able to detect the little vibrations that are caused by these impacts. Now we have a way to plan before those instruments get there to have a better understanding of data and the observations that the astronauts have made.
Just want to note quickly, CLIPS, the acronym for NASA's Commercial Lunar Payload Services team. Let's talk a little bit more about those tools that you guys are developing that are actually going to be used in space.
We're sending a suite of landers to the moon, and each of those landers has a suite of instruments. So we have over 50 instruments that have either been slated for future missions to the moon or that are on the moon right now that we've done science and technology demonstrations with already. You can do radio astronomy and X-ray astronomy, take tons of pictures to understand the geology of the moon.
I understand you have a lot of strong Wisconsin ties, and I want to get into that a little bit because obviously this is Wisconsin Public Radio. Tell me how someone who went to UW-Eau Claire ends up working for NASA.
My freshman year, I took an astronomy class. My professor at the time Professor Bob Elliott, said, you know, we're going to have you also learn constellations. We had to learn four. And every opportunity that that was open for us to go learn constellations that I wasn't in a class, it was in the planetarium. I don't know, seventh, eighth, ninth, 10th time that I went in, the physics professor said, you know, I've noticed that you've been in here an awful lot. I'm pretty sure you've learned your four, but you keep coming back. Would you like a job? I'm running the planetarium, and I'd love to have a planetarium assistant. Second semester of astronomy, Dr. Smethels was my professor there. And by the end of that, he said, you know, I need a teaching assistant for astronomy for our labs. Would you like a job?
So now, what's your message directly to those kids who are in Shauno right now looking up at the stars like you used to do?
You know, it's interesting because my own brother, Matt Lederer, he's a teacher at the Montessori schools in Appleton, Wisconsin. So he is one of those people who's working with kids to help them to be excited. My message to the kids is this. People said, there's no jobs. There's no future. You shouldn't continue on with this path because it's too hard and there's not very many ways to get there. Don't listen to that message. Embrace your passion and continue forward until you find the path that's right for you.
Dr. Lederer, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome. My pleasure.
That was Wisconsin native Dr. Susan Lederer, lead project scientist for NASA's Commercial Lunar Payload Services team, also known as CLPS. The UW-Eau Claire graduate is part of the Artemis program, and she explained how her team is learning more about the lunar environment. And finally, we'll end the show with a quick check of your forecast. Mix of sunshine and clouds early, but those clouds continue building throughout the day into some likely rain later on, maybe a few thunderstorms as well. High temperatures in the 60s and 70s today. That rain continues across a good portion of the state overnight, with heavy rain expected in central Wisconsin. In fact, a flood watch is in effect for parts of central and northern Wisconsin overnight, with lows down into the 50s. And that'll do it for this Monday. Really fun show. Not every day you get to talk to a NASA scientist, am I right? Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett, who booked and helped coordinate that NASA scientist interview. Shout out to Courtney, working hard behind the scenes. If you like this content, don't forget to leave us a rating and review wherever you're listening right now. We really appreciate it. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.